This particular fight will give this guy generational wealth, will change the trajectory of his family, of his life, and you're getting down to the nitty-gritty, and the fight is on the line, and your fighter is in trouble. What process do you use to make that decision?
Welcome to another episode of Success for the Athletic-Minded Man. Real talk on harnessing your athletic drive for clarity, consistency, and focus in business and life. This is your host, Jim Harshaw Jr., and today I bring you Bruce Babichan. So Coach Bruce Babichan, he's a friend, he's a famed boxing coach, he's a leadership speaker who teaches a practical approach to what he calls poise in the noise. Poise in the noise. This is a method for helping leaders and helping coaches be clear, stay composed, and be effective when it matters most. It is a program that he teaches that focuses on the things that actually break down when it's crunch time. When, you know, when the pressure's on, you know, things like clarity and your composure and your judgment and communication. And he teaches this as a repeatable skill so that when it gets crazy, when you're in those moments of high pressure, you can actually respond and react and act and lead and communicate effectively. So think about in his role, he's a boxing coach. He has 60 seconds to communicate very quickly what needs to happen to either inspire or teach or lead or help somebody in the moment, his fighter, be ready for the next round. And you think about a football coach, right? 2-minute drill, end of the game, everything's on the line, season's on the line, in the playoffs, like those kinds of situations. But for you, that's going to be a sales presentation, right? You're in a sales presentation and you're supposed to be the assistant helping out and the lead person doesn't show up and you're like, man, it's go time. You know, you gotta go in the moment. Maybe you're in a talk with your boss and he or she asks you something hard. Or maybe you're in a job interview, like these crunch time moments. What are those for you? In sports, we know what those are, right? Clock's ticking, tough choices have to be made. You have to very clearly communicate your decision and be confident and calm in those moments. And we all kind of hope that we'll rise to the occasion in those, but if you don't practice this and work on this, then you're not going to perform at the level that is necessary. And that's what Bruce teaches in this interview today. So let's get into it. My interview, my conversation with my friend, Bruce Babichan. He's been on the podcast twice before, and this is just a topic that I think is really important, really relevant. And if you know somebody who could use this, who would enjoy this, go ahead and give this a share. And by the way, your ratings and reviews and whatever platform you're listening to this on, those are super, super helpful. So thank you for those in advance. All right, let's get into it. My interview with Bruce Babichan. When you say making decisions in the heat of the moment, like in crunch time, like what do you mean? Give us some examples, both in sports and in life outside of it.
Sure. So let me give you a little backdrop about how I came into this. So, you know, I've been training fighters for close to 3 decades, and kids at every level, kid beginners all the way to Olympians to professional world champions and everybody in between. And in all those fights, there were thousands of rounds. Between every one of those rounds, there was 60 seconds. And in that 60 seconds, you know, I really learned how to make decisions and how to distill information, how to deliver information really effectively. I learned how to organize people. And I wasn't aware that I was learning it. I was just doing it because I had thousands of reps. You know, every one of us, whether, you know, I also coached high school football for many years, but every one of us have been in those situations where, you know, things are on the line, whether it's your business, you have to make a sales pitch, whether or not it's the game, it's a timeout. You know, I'm sure when you were a wrestling coach, you had this, you know, you have a break, you got X number of seconds, you got to get information that matters to this kid, this athlete, this employee.
Yep.
I call that crunch time, right? It's crunch time. And how you do it, you know, most of us, Jim, think that we're, most of us, certainly, I can speak for myself, but I can also, I've been around coaches and we all have nice egos, right?
Yeah. Everybody thinks they're doing it just fine.
Right. We all think we're going to rise to the occasion. But yet every year you're watching the National College Football Championships, you see coaches mismanage the clock. You see coaches having, you know, problems on the sideline. And I always tell people, if you really want to see how the sausage is made, if they put a camera down on the field, or on the court side, or on mat side, or in the corner of the ring, and you watch what's happening in that 30, 40, 50, 60 seconds, it's amazing. People are trying to figure out in that period of time how to say the most important thing, the thing that's going to make the difference while their emotions are racing, while the crowd is deafening. I remember one time, Jim, we were fighting down in Mexico for a world title, and we were in like an indoor bull ring, and it was 15,000 people, and the stadium was built up, not out. So the people up above us felt like they were right on top of us, and it was hot and it was steamy. Quite frankly, we were the gringos, you know, we were from America. And so when we were walking to the ring, but we couldn't hear ourselves. And, you know, it was so loud and it was so dense. And being able to work in that environment and be able to keep that environment calm and keep your corner calm, keep your fighter calm, and then distill information down into what's important, understand what your athlete needs in that time. Some athlete, you know, there's like a framework to it, right? There's awareness, which is your personal awareness, right? Your self-awareness, your situational awareness, the environmental awareness, all those things go into it. And you have to know them without letting them really, really overtake you. Like, I'll tell you a very interesting story. So this is many years ago, the United States Olympic team was not particularly happy with the Olympic team that the trials had produced. So they had this thing called a reload. And so they invited out all the best fighters from all over the country to this 1 week tournament, which is going to result in who was going to be on the U.S. Olympic team. So I had a couple kids that were invited out and went out to Colorado Springs. And I happened to know another coach that was there. And this dude was a great coach, not a good coach, a great coach. And he understood the sport. He was a great tactician. He was a great strategist. Just a great mind. I really admired the guy. And I was a younger coach at the time, sort of coming up. And his fighter, he asked me if I would help him out in the corner. I said, absolutely, I will. So, you know, I thought I was going to learn some things. And I did learn something, but it was unexpected. So these fights, they're only 3 rounds long. So it's just, you know, get it done or you're going home. Right. And so the tension is very high. And this is to move on. These are advancing tournaments. They're going to look for the kid that's going to be on our Olympic team. So everybody there is a dog. You know, everybody there has brought their best and the tension is high. And it was the bell sounded after the first round. And when we got into the ring, I watched him hyperventilate.
Wow.
I watched him get so emotionally caught up because, you know, he had poured so much of his time, his energy, his life, his focus. He denied his family thing, you know, to help this young man. The moment had arrived. He had so many good things to say. He was so smart, but he couldn't manage the moment. So I saw this and I just put my hand on his shoulder and I started talking to the athlete myself. And I gave him some time to gather himself. And when I put my hand on his shoulder, he looked right in my eye. And we had that nonverbal communication. Wow. I said, let me take this. You know what I mean? Wow. I didn't say it out loud. I said, let me take this. And I began to speak and I talked. Then he sort of was able to re-engage. And towards the end, he was able to get back in. And I never spoke to him. We came back. Next round was over. I put my hand on his shoulder. I began to speak. I was able to help him silently bring out his brilliance. And he was great. He's a great coach. But I realized that was the first time as a young coach that I realized that even the best coaches have difficulty in these moments sometimes. The energy and that some people don't process that way.
Quick interruption. Hey, if you like what you're hearing, be sure to get the notes, quotes, and links in the action plan from this episode. Just go to jimharshawjr.com/action. That's jimharshawjr.com/action to get your free copy of the action plan. Now back to the show.
Yeah. And I see it all the time. I mean, growing up in wrestling, I think if you asked a lot of coaches, if they thought they were like, if they could rate themselves in those moments, right? In wrestling, it's, you know, when you go out of bounds, you're walking back to the center. That could be 6, 8, 10, 15 seconds to communicate. Or if there's injury time, there may be a minute to communicate. And sometimes in international wrestling, there's breaks between periods. So like there's these short spells of communication. If you ask most coaches, they would tell you that they do it. They're probably pretty good in that scenario. They're not in the sense that you know, I pay attention to this stuff. I'm in this world where, you know, like you, you know, coaching, consulting, helping people. And I read about this stuff. I learn about it. And certainly not to the, you know, I haven't had the thousands of reps that you have. I've had a few reps, but I've learned about it. And I've seen coaches try to teach new techniques, get super complex in these 15 seconds, 30 seconds. I'm like, what are we doing here? And I read an article. I think you and I actually talked about this at one point. I read an article in this newsletter about athletics and about athletes and how to help them prepare and whatnot. And the question was, it was a survey to athletes, to wrestlers, actually it was to wrestlers specifically in this one. And they asked them, what do you want from your coach in between periods? What do you want from them in those short spells? And what they wanted and what coaches give them are complete opposites, right? They wanted encouragement, one piece of information, like very small bits. So, you know, I have this very loose understanding of you've boiled this down into a framework, you have reps. But before we go there, Bruce, why does this matter to the guy listening? To the guy who maybe he's in a leadership role, maybe he's an entrepreneur. He's like, man, I got like an hour to communicate during my weekly staff meeting. What are the relevant scenarios and situations that are really critical for the entrepreneur, for the leader, for the father listening?
There are management decisions and then there's leadership decisions, right? And they say that managers have a lot of time and a lot of data to make decisions that affect a very few amount of people. And leaders don't get a lot of time and they don't get all the information to make decisions that are going to affect everybody. And when it comes to decision-making framework, most of us go on our intuition. We're put into a moment, we go, we don't know how much critical thinking we're doing. We don't know how much environmental work. We've all made bad choices.
Yeah, no framework, no training, no pre-thought going into that.
You go in and you trust that you're just simply your process, the one that you got, whatever that happened to be, you trust that that's the right one. And you trust, look, when it comes down to crunch time, I'll make the right choice.
Yeah, and nobody out there, Bruce, is really highlighting exactly what you're highlighting, like communication in these critical moments. Like, I don't know that I've heard, I'm sure there's maybe other people out there, but I haven't heard them really talk about this, think about this, put the intention around it that you are doing, that you have, and you have the background, the experience doing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because this wasn't something that I set out as a business model, right? This is something I set out to help myself and my coaches. The level of kid that I coach, that 60 seconds can change a life. It can change a career. It can save a life. I go through this process of what is going into my decision-making. And I'll tell you something, lots of my decisions when I was younger were ego engaged, right? You know, I was, you know, sometimes we're in these highly emotional moments and I would respond emotionally, right? I would respond with, you know, and I didn't really understand the need of my athlete or the need of the moment.
Yeah. Sure, we're in these pressure cooker situations and we just react and respond as opposed to having a framework or having pre-thought any of this.
Right. And I trusted that I was just a really good coach. You know, it's interesting because, and I mentioned this thing about ego, and I read this book about John Wooden. You know, everybody knows John Wooden, one of the greatest coaches of all time. There's something that I didn't know until I read the book was that John Wooden who was just incredibly self-aware, realized that he didn't process well. So his assistant coaches did most of the in-game processing and coaching. And John Wooden would stand, he performed better in that secondary role, right? Lots of coaches.
Know thyself.
Yeah. And lots of coaches, you know, try and handle play calling and clock management and situational, you know, shit stuff. And they can't do it. They'd like to be able to do it because I'm a coach. I'm the head coach,
yeah.
Right? I want to be able to do all of that.
Yeah, I'm supposed to. I can't show any crack in my, you know.
Right, I can't because if I do that, how great a coach am I, right? Well, I don't know. How great a coach is John Wood? I mean, you know, part of this is this ego thing. And what happens is that we believe that our process, without any training, is the one that leads to the right answer. And oftentimes we don't make the right answer. We don't have the right process and we make the wrong choices. And in that moment, we're flying by instinct. If you, the simple framework, you have awareness, you have control, you have clarity, and then communication. I teach this to my coaches.
What are the common mistakes you're seeing? I mean, let's look in a boxing environment and also business.
Right. So there's two things, right? We're constantly at war with our intuition versus our analytics. Mm-hmm. What do the numbers say? What does my gut say? Well, I can assure you 90% of people got to the top operating a lot on their gut and a little bit on analytics, right? You know, nobody looks down. First of all, people who are analytically driven don't perform well on the other component pieces of leadership, which is the emotional, right? The emotional component, the command presence. So you have people who are really, really analytical, and they look down and they reduce everything to what is on paper. What do I do in this situation? Well, this is what it tells me. This is what I'm doing. That may not be an inspired answer. That may not be the answer that's needed. So you have this struggle. And what most people do in critical situations, their answer, it reflects their emotions. So if they are have heightened emotions, they give too much information, right? They give too general information. Oftentimes that their emotions overtake the moment. You know, you said something earlier that what athletes want. When an athlete looks at you, he's looking for something, right? He's looking for calm. He's looking for confidence. When you're in a boardroom or you're in a situation, you're at a sales pitch. I remember one time before all this, my corporate life, you know, I was the practice president for one of the largest search firms in the country. And I had to do what we call it a pitch out, where we were pitching out with this defense contractor for this job. I'll tell you this job. The job was, I'll never forget it. The job was the head of the advanced systems blue sky phenomenology unit of this company.
What the heck does that mean?
They design missiles, right? Wow. And this was the department inside that company that was forward thinking. It was, you know, they were out there on the cutting edge of technology and blue sky. I mean, they're the DARPA type of guys, the guys that are thinking about that stuff, right? So I got a phone call from one of our guys from the West Coast said, I need you to come with me on a pitch. And I said, okay, what are we going to do? And he said, I don't really want to tell you about it. He goes, he knew me. And he goes, you won't want to come. I go, well, so he landed. I remember I picked him up in DC. We drove across the bridge to the defense contractor. And on the way, he briefed me. He said, this is what the pitch is. I go, you know, I have no idea what this is about. I've never even heard half of those words. I never heard the word phenomenology before this, right? So we go in and there's three other search firms that are there, right? Russell, Reynolds, Spencer. These are all the high-end search firms. Whenever Fortune 500 companies, there's a handful of companies they call. They go in and do their pitch. It's 40 minutes and they come back out and they walk out. So it's a very uncomfortable waiting room. You know, it's a really uncomfortable waiting room. And so it was our turn and we were last. And we went in and my job was to support the guy who was Joel, who was making the pitch. And so we go in and he makes his pitch and I can see it's not working. I can see that we haven't differentiated ourselves at all. And I decided in the moment I was aware of what was happening because I was sitting back being quiet and I was looking. And I was mapping and I was looking at faces, trying to understand what was happening on the other side emotionally. What kind of, what were they thinking? I was trying to take their perspective. And in the process, I realized, hey, right now we have not differentiated ourselves and we have to do something dramatic.
Wouldn't it be nice, Bruce, right? Like in that moment, like on ESPN now, when you're watching football, they're like 4th and 2 on the 38-yard line. Analytics says go for it. You know, it's like you can look down at your phone and go, analytics says, Bruce, here's what you're supposed to say.
We filled him, but you know, when he was making the pitch, we filled him with expertise and history and capability and resources. But I could see that's not what they were choosing between. Apples and apples, you know, and there wasn't. So yeah, he sat down. I stood up and I said, just what I said to you. I stood up and I said, you know, I never even heard the word phenomenology before I came here today. I didn't even know what blue sky was. And I said, and I'm sure that everybody that walked in here has an incredible background in defense contracting and defense technology. And I said, I don't have any of that. I said, I'm a people guy. And I said, if you are interested in a scientist doing this assignment, this search assignment for you, that's my scientist back there. I'm not a scientist. I'm the guy that's going to take this opportunity and I'm going to sell the best candidate in the marketplace on your opportunity. I'm going to reach that person and I'm going to sell them on this company. I'm not going to sell them on what the company does. I'm going to sell them on the company. I'm going to touch them emotionally and I'm going to pull them. I'm going to sell this job into the marketplace. I said, I watched the other eight guys leave here. I said, not one of them's going to do that. They're all rocket scientists. That's my rocket scientist. I'm the sales guy here. I'm the only guy in here that can go into the marketplace of people and move somebody from your best competitor in here because I understand what moves people. I don't understand science, but I understand what moves people. And right when we were done, I sat down and my partner put his hand on my thigh and squeezed it because that was totally unscripted, right? I'm sure when I started, he was about to have a heart attack because it was totally, you know, this was a room of, right? And this was a room of scientists, but it was a room of very insightful people, and they knew what they wanted. And we sat down and they said, would you gentlemen wait in the leader of the meeting? Said, would you gentlemen wait outside for a moment? And I said, yeah, we go outside and we wait. And I walked down and I looked at Joe. I go, well, you know, we rolled the dice, brother. I said, you know, I hope that's why you brought me because that's what I did. He goes, that's why I brought you. Let's hope it works. They called us back in like 20 minutes and they gave us the assignment. And in that moment, I had to make a choice. Right. I had to make a choice. I could have shrank there, first of all. You know what I mean? But I realized that there was something else that that room needed and what that moment needed. And it needed me not to be analytical. It needed to be at that moment. I had to trust my intuition over the analytics. Right. We had all the documentation. You should have seen the presentation we had. I didn't understand most of it. But I had to trust what my intuition was telling me about the room I was in. Here's the thing. What happens to people when they get into those situations takes a little bit of courage, right? Takes a little bit of courage. But you default back to what you know.
Let's break down the film here, right? We're a fly on the wall. We get to watch this interaction, this scenario. What is the framework that we can take, that the listener can use? You know, what is the order of operations that goes into that kind of high pressure, high stakes moment? This is like talking to one of your boxers in the corner. Right. This is a football coach during a timeout. Let's break this down.
So the first thing was that as I was watching, I became very aware of the environment I was in.
You said awareness before. Is that one sort of
self-awareness,
okay.
Right?
Yep.
Situational awareness, right? Environmental awareness. What is the room that I'm in? What is the circumstance that I'm in? And how am I responding to it? Right? Part of me wanted to, honestly, part of me wanted to keep my mouth shut because I was risking a lot by stepping out, right? But as I looked and I studied the people that were listening and I could see their faces, yeah. I became very aware that our pitch was not working.
And this is important. I just want to highlight this for listener, like awareness. And you're saying like, well, that, you know, I am self-aware. I'm situationally aware. I'm environment. Mm-hmm. Like I know where I'm at. I know what room I'm in. But mm-hmm. what Bruce is talking about here is like really getting outside of your body, outside of your emotions, and really being truly aware, not just like, okay, yeah, I'm here, but like actually aware of, like, you know, looking at the people in the background, paying attention to the energy in the room, et cetera. So go ahead.
100%. Well, you know, it's, and if you think about it, right? So last play of the game, you got to make the call. If you're not thinking about what your opponent's going to do or what's happening in your opponent's mind, right? Then you can't make a complete decision,
yeah.
Right? And what happens is people fall back on habits and they fall back on scripts and predetermined behavior, right? Really, you got to be in the living moment and you have to be in the living moment without being emotionally overwhelmed by it. And that gets you to control.
So step one is awareness. Step two is control.
Step two is control. Can you regulate your emotions? Let me tell you something. My heart was beating out of my chest. I didn't appear that way, right? And I knew that I was taking a risk, and I was taking a risk, quite frankly, with my friend's opportunity. He brought me along for a reason. And I know that he was hoping that I could, you know, I could gunsling our way out of this thing if I needed it, right? And he needed me to shoot those bullets. I knew he was counting on me for something, but part of me wanted just to not take a chance. I didn't know it was the right time. And I had to regulate my emotions. I had to calm myself down, because when I stood up, the one thing I had to project was absolute confidence and clarity. If they sensed in my voice anything, if they sensed any hesitation or any of that, I knew that they would uncover that I was not real. So when I stood up and I took that particular perspective, I knew how I needed to appear. I knew how I needed to stand, present myself. But even now when I think about it, I'm a little nervy about it. Like, you know, like I think about it, my anxiety comes up a little bit.
So how do you control that in the moment? Is it
so that's a really good question.
Because that's a natural response.
That's a natural response, right? You just raised probably the key point. Everybody's going to feel this at some level, right? But if you've been doing this, if you've been in these situations 1,000 times, if you got reps, every teacher, every coach, everybody out there, get the reps. You coached at the highest level in wrestling. Reps. Give me reps. Give me reps. Right? Nobody's out there getting reps. Yeah. Right? Most of us, nobody's out there providing reps for people. You know, I run a workshop. And last time I did it with a bunch of NFL guys. So we went up to the Ali training camp, the old Ali training camp that was restored up in Deer Lake, Pennsylvania. And I made them all corner men. And my workshops are experiential and they're intense and they're a blast and they're fun. But I put you in the corner. And then I help you build a framework for decision making. We do the process. So what I do is I give each person a bio of their fighter and I explain who their fighter is and their situation of the fighter and then what situation they're currently in. And a lot of the bios and a lot of the explanation, Jim, is that I bring in external elements that are outside the moment. For instance, that this particular fighter, that you've noticed something in training about this specific fighter. And that you've noticed a tremor in his back foot that nobody else sees, but you see. And you know that's a precursor to maybe worse things. But this particular fight will give this guy generational wealth, will change the trajectory of his family, of his life. And you're getting down to the nitty gritty and the fight is on the line and your fighter is in trouble. What process do you use to make that decision? You know, do you have a set of decision-making principles? We talk about, when I go into clarity in the next speech, you talk about clarity. Do you have a set of decision-making principles? Recently, I was listening to Nick Saban talk. One of the things that I've noticed about him when he talks about his coaching choices, that he had a set of principles. He was just talking about a specific situation. And he said, you know, when I got into big time situations, I think of players, not plays, you know, and when you think of it in that context, when Nick Saban is in that situation, he has eliminated a ton of possibilities.
Yeah, simplifies.
Simplified. He's a limb right. He's got 3 or 4 ballers out there. It's going to one of them. My workshops challenge you on your awareness because we make the environment real. Mm-hmm. I bring in real fighters. I make the environment real. I put pressure on them. I have people talking over you. I have noise. I have all these things. You have all these distractions and you're in an uncomfortable environment. And then I say, choose. Right now, choose. Make your decision. Go. 60 seconds. And I can see. And then I make the fighter distract them by being tired and out of breath. I'll have the referee come over and distract them. I'll have a ring doctor come in and interact with them. And I'm saying, time, 20 seconds.
Yeah.
30 seconds. Choose. Yeah. Right? And then as they go through this process, what you see is lots of them who are very smart, very bright people, they get to a point and the system breaks down.
Yeah.
It just breaks down and they don't know what to do. And they sort of, they recede back into the fact it's not real. And I said, that's because you don't have a process. You don't have a structure.
So how does the listener create this? So how many steps are in the framework? We got awareness, number one. Number two is control.
There's awareness, control, clarity, and then communication.
Number three is clarity. And right. Tell us about clarity.
So clarity is really about using critical thinking and learning to trust sometimes your intuition over analytics because that comes from experience. And the process in which you choose to make the decisions, you and I talked about it. Do you have a set of decision-making principles? You know, every coach has a script. Everybody has a predetermined idea what's going to happen going in, but the circumstances may challenge that, right? You have to have a set of principles to fall back on. Otherwise, you're just going to make a decision. You're going to do this, right? You're going to cross your fingers and hope that that's not a way to make a decision, right? Even if you're wrong, listen, there's nothing guarantees you to make the right decision, but there are many things you can do and follow a process to make the best decision in the moment, right? Yeah. And that's a distinction. That's a difference. And the last thing is just communicate. How do you communicate your decision to your staff, right? To your board, you know, to the client that's waiting to hear from you, or your athlete? How do you communicate that to them? And how you communicate that really has to fit the moment as well. But are you calm? Are you clear? Are you present? Do they sense doubt in you? Are you talking too much? Are you talking too little? You know this from coaching. Most coaches talk, most leaders talk too much.
Yep.
Right? That's because they haven't gone through the other three steps to distill their process. Yep. So they're doing it in real time. They're going through the process in real time, and they're talking, and they're trying to talk themselves into it.
For the listener who, I love the concept, and I've seen that video of Nick Saban talking about, I think, about players, not plays. And he learned that from, I believe, his high school coach. And you have wisdom from outside, and that's a great frame. Any other sort of like examples like that of a framework that really cuts out the clutter?
Well, you know, the most obvious example, most obvious example, is every coach, right? It's every coach. If you watch a football game, I'm just giving you an obvious example.
Yeah.
Every coach has their play sheet, right? Every coach. And then if you go down, you got to either kick the field goal or you're going to go for two. And if you're going to go for two to win, right? Every coach looks down on his play sheet and he has a list of plays right there, right? One, two, or three. Now, if you don't think that those plays aren't scouted, right? You don't think the other guy is sitting on his thing going, when they get here, these are the possibilities, right? So you have to be able to measure between, that's your fallback. That's your instinctual fallback. But what is your, if you go through this process, what does your intuition tell you at that moment? And can you trust your intuition? Can you trust you? And your intuition says, I'm not doing what's on the play sheet. I'm doing this. Now, that takes a lot of nerve, right? Takes big balls, right, to do something like that. But that's what the great coaches do. And I can tell you that they didn't come to that decision by being panicked, by lacking self-awareness, by lacking situational. It's the height of all those things. And then they can sit down and calmly and reservedly look back and say, you know what? I know what this is about. I know what the playbook says. We're running this. Exactly what I did in the pitch. Right. Yeah. That was completely. But I knew at that moment, that's what needed to be done. And I calmly and distinctly just set out and I went with my intuition, my gut. Right. And it's what won the day. And what happens all the time is that when you don't have these things and you're emotionally, your ego's over involved, which is easy for a leader. I know I can only speak for myself when I'm emotional, when I haven't gone through my distillation process. I'm not aware of the moment. I make decisions and I just, let's see what happens. But when I go for this, I can calmly and confidently make a choice. If I'm 100% correct, I'm not. The other people, the situations, you know, don't always go your way. But there's a difference between making a good choice and making the choice that's right every time. That's not going to happen.
So one of the things I do with my clients is I help them define a clear set of core values. We're not just kind of circling words on a page that sound nice. We're doing the deep introspective work that help them reveal what I use as an analogy, like a compass for making decisions, right? They have this set of core values. And then we take that and we create a vision for their life, identify their core values. And then we hone that down to the next level, which is creating goals. And then the next level, which is creating micro goals. And these micro goals are the monthly goals and action items that feed into the goals which feed us towards the vision and align with the values that we've determined, right? So there's this. So we do this on a macro level. Here's what I'm interested in getting from you before we jump off here, Bruce, is you're taking this down to like the high pressure, high stakes, 60 seconds, you know, you're in a job interview, you're doing a sales pitch, you're having a conversation with your boss and he asks you something in the moment. How does the listener create that for themselves? That quick thinking, the players not plays kind of concept. Like, how do we do that for ourselves? Obviously, we can hire you, but for the individual who doesn't have that opportunity, what can we do to create our own framework?
I say this to all my coaches. What you do before crunch time will determine what you do in crunch time, right? So if you're not aware, if you don't take accounting, part of this is about you trying to improve yourself and your decision-making and your ability to process. If you don't take stock of when you're in a day-to-day situation of how emotions drive your decisions, okay, if you're not out there thinking about that, you're a slave to your emotions.
That just goes back to awareness again. I know that's one of your concepts in the moment. It's also the concept you're talking about here. It's like, pay attention to what's going on in your day-to-day.
If you know, as a mature thinking coach or an adult or a leader, when I feel my heart racing, I know now I'm starting to move from my analytical mind into my emotional self, right? If you are not aware of how you are and self-aware of how stress affects you, you know, you've seen some people, stress affects people and they're calm and they've got, right? And then there's other people like my friend who is a fantastic coach, or John Wooden, right? Who those moments affect their ability to process. If you don't have that awareness, if you don't spend the time becoming aware of yourself and then aware of your environment, like, you know, oftentimes people think communication's one way. You know, you're my, that room where I made that pitch, or my quarterback, let's say, right? If I'm not aware how he responds or they respond, I need to make some estimations. I have to be thinking, how are people going to respond to the way I deliver my information? Do I yell, or do they need me to be like, oftentimes some fighters, and I'll give you the example. Oftentimes some fighters need me to dig right into the heart. I forego instruction and I go right into inspiration. I say, listen, MF, this is it. Your whole life's on the line. If it's going to happen, it needs to happen right now. That's one way to approach it. Another way to approach it is take a deep breath. Breathe with me. 3 minutes determines the rest of your life, right? Those are two different, the same message delivered two different ways, right? You have to be aware of the room you're in. You have to be aware of the way that people decode messages. You have to be aware, when I was making that pitch, I had to be somewhat aware that these men, and there was a gal there, these people were looking for something different than what was being delivered to them. And I had to be aware of that. You know, I had to, as I went through that particular process, I had to calm my own nerves. I got to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Because I was stepping out on the ledge. There's no question about it. That's one of those things you do, and you either become a legend or you become a chump.
So for us to walk away and, you know, have something actionable for us. So number one, awareness, right? We've got to be aware in our day to day. Yep. What else do we have to do to create this?
Learn how you learn and work on regulating your emotions in moments. Calm down. How do you calm yourself down? Then you have to get into clarity, work on your critical thinking skills. And then the last thing is just think about how you communicate to people. Listen, barking out is not always the most effective. And that's a simple, doable, practical framework that anybody who is attempting to become a better leader, right? Anybody can benefit from.
The framework is four things: awareness, control, clarity, communication. And for this to work, in those moments that Bruce is talking about and that you are facing every day, every week, every month, changing the direction of your career, your business, your life, you have to work on this before you get into those moments. So day to day, you need to work, you be aware of, how did I handle that scenario that came up? Practicing your control, being clear, and then having that, working on that clarity, and then how do I communicate, right? Clear in my message, clear in my thinking, clear in my critical thinking about how I'm thinking, and then working on your communication. Like, you've got to practice this stuff.
You've got to practice this stuff. And, yep. And you know, it's not hard. because these situations occur every day. You're having a problem with your child, you're having a problem with a coworker, you have a problem with the mechanic, and you want to communicate. How are you regulating your emotions then? So all of these things, it's a simple framework. And so this makes you a more self-aware, effective communicator, and a better leader who makes better choices. And sometimes, you know, you'll be able to live with the outcomes much better, much easier, whether your decision is right or wrong. Because as all the things I'm telling you, I make the wrong decision sometimes. And at least I know I've done it, and I put my best foot forward in that process. There's nothing worse than watching a coach or a leader cave under pressure.
So Bruce, I know that you give keynotes on this, you lead workshops on this for the listener who is interested in that for themselves or their company. How do they find you, follow you, and track you down?
So if you're interested in learning more about this, I have a website, yourcornerman.com, and you can go there and you can read about it and some of the things I offer to try and help leaders in sports and business. If you're interested, you can leave me a message there and I'll respond. That's probably the best way to get a hold of me. I'm on Instagram as Your Corner Man, but a lot of that's just fighting. You know, that's fighting and boxing stuff, and that's the other world in which I live. But if you're interested in finding out more, learning about this and learning about me, there's some information on there about me, yourcornerman.com. And if you want to reach out and give me a chat, I'd love to chat with you about it. Come in and help your team or give a keynote or run a workshop. I guarantee the workshops are unlike anything you've ever done. It's an incredibly fun, exciting, but a wildly informative, powerful day.
Awesome. For the listener, you can go to Bruce's website. I'll have the link there. I'll also have his email address in the action plan so you can reach out directly to Bruce about this. Bruce, thanks so much for coming back on the show, man. Good seeing you.
Sure, buddy. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it, brother.